Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
My sisters and brothers, today we celebrate Laetare Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Lent. It is a time for us to take notice of our Lenten observance and the effects it is having in our journey of life. We also welcome the catechumens who are here today to go to the second scrutiny. And we wish you continued blessings on this journey to baptism. Now, brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done, and in what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison, Kyrie.
Let us pray. O God, who through your word reconcile the human race to yourself in a wonderful way, grant, we pray, that with prompt devotion and eager faith, the Christian people may hasten toward the solemn celebrations to come. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the second book of Chronicles. In those days, all the princes of Judah, the priests, and the people added infidelity to infidelity, practicing all the abominations of the nations and polluting the Lord's temple, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. Early and often did the Lord, the God of their fathers, send his messengers to them, for he had compassion on his people and in his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his warnings, and scoffed at his prophets, until the anger of the Lord against his people was so inflamed that there was no remedy. Their enemies burnt the house of God, tore down the walls of Jerusalem, set all its palaces afire, and destroyed all its precious objects. Those who escaped the sword were carried captive to Babylon, where they became servants of the king of the Chaldeans and his sons, until the kingdom of the Persians came to power. All this was to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah. Until the land has retrieved its lost Sabbaths, during all the time it lies waste, it shall have rest while 70 years are fulfilled. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord inspired King Cyrus of Persia to issue this proclamation throughout his kingdom, both by word of mouth and in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord, the God of heaven, has given to me, and he has also charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever, therefore, among you belongs to any part of his people, let him go up, and may his God be with him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. By the streams of Babylon we sat and wept, when we remembered Zion, on the aspens of that land, we hung up our hearts. Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. For there are captors asked of us the lyrics of our songs, and our despoilers urged us to be joyous, sing for us the songs of Zion. Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. How can we sing a song of the Lord in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand be forgotten. Let my tongue be silent if I ever forget you. May my tongue cleave to my palate if I remember you not. If I place not Jerusalem ahead of my joy, let my tongue be silent if I ever forget you.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved, raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavens, in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you, it is a gift of God. It is not from works, so no one may boast. For we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has prepared in advance that we should live in them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so whoever believes in him might have eternal life. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works may not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Christ, King of endless glory. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
I know somewhere along the line we have all heard the phrase, the longest journey in the world is from the head to the heart. To take what we study, what we understand, and allow it to change our lives. One of my first spiritual directors in the seminary kept saying to me over and over, all the things that you learn in the books that you have to learn, all the things that you read, that you have to read, they need to integrate, or he used the word which I prefer, you have to interiorize what you believe. And so I ask ourselves, I ask myself on this fourth Sunday of Lent, is our faith something in our heads? Is it something that we are proud of, that I can recite the Baltimore Catechism for some of us at a certain age? Or is it something that I can say, my grandmother taught me this, my mother taught me this, sister taught me this? In other words, is our faith in our heads? Or has it really embedded itself in our hearts? And we can look at our own life. If we are stagnant on a particular point of faith, and that one point becomes everything for us, without looking at what is going on in the world, without understanding and integrating the fact that we are missionaries of Jesus Christ in the world, then perhaps our faith is up here. And the result of that, sisters and brothers, for all of us, is what we hear in the book of Chronicles, the second book of Chronicles today. Infidelity upon infidelity. The book of Chronicles shows the constant history, not only of the people of Israel in those days, but our own lack of fidelity to God because we forget. We also have to be careful with what I just said of head and heart. Because faith is not just a pious love affair of the heart. It also is a rational acceptance. It is a rational understanding of who God is and how much He loves us, and then that again becomes part of our life. But when we forget the covenant of God, when we feel that we can take care of ourselves, even in matters of salvation, or that we name what salvation is for me, that the church may teach us something, Jesus may have said something about salvation, but I know better. I can allow this in my life because I know that I will be saved. This is the mentality that we find in the book of Chronicles today, infidelity upon infidelity, to the point that every sin we could imagine was being committed in Israel by the Israelites in their exile in Babylonia. But we're not talking about a history lesson here today. We have to talk about ourselves. What is my infidelity? What is our infidelity? We can look around the world and we can name thousands of things that are going on in our troubled, confused, unfaithful world. But we also have to start with ourselves. What is my infidelity? Even in your own personal relationships with family members, a wife, a husband, children with your parents, and so on and so on, where are you unfaithful to the love that you know is there for you? Where are you unfaithful? And then, planting ourselves in that, we can also look at God and knowing the immense love of God for us as He gave His Son to us on the cross, where am I unfaithful? What part of the gospel do I ignore? Is it the part of the gospel where Jesus talks us to not be afraid in this world? And so have I caved in to fear? Have I lost hope? Am I not forgiving? And so many things that the gospel brings to our attention, are we unfaithful to that and have written that part off? God has been ignored over and over in the history of our world, in the history of faith. And today, perhaps more than ever, God is being ignored as irrelevant, or as many would say, doesn't even exist, that God is dead. When that happens, the infidelities mount. But the letter to the Ephesians today brings us good news, and this is the point I would like to bring to us today. That by grace you have been saved. By grace, which means by gift. You haven't earned it. You cannot earn it. You didn't buy it. You can't pay for it. You can't make it. Everything we have as far as our life in the goodness that God has put into our hearts, everything is gift. Total gift. And when you think about receiving a gift, and when we receive a gift in the true spirit of gift, what is the first thing that comes to our mind? Even a birthday gift, a Christmas gift. Hopefully it is thankfulness, being thankful. And if we are to live a faithful Christian life, if we are to live a faithful life in relationship to God, then I believe we need to recognize every day, and perhaps today is a new start for us, even during Lent, that everything is a gift. And so all day long, we can pray by simply saying, thank you. How many of us get up in the morning and thank God for the new day? How many of us have forgotten to pray before the meals, the simple meals that we receive throughout the day? How many of us are not thankful for the phone call that we receive from someone who just wants to say hello, who is our friend, our relative? How many of us at the end of the day do not stop and simply look over the day and say, thank you? The attitude of thanksgiving is the attitude of the Christian. And that is what we are here today to do as we celebrate the sacred Eucharist, the sacred Mass. Again, it is the offering of thanksgiving, to thank God for Jesus, his Son, to thank God for everything that we are and everything that we have. Whoever believes this has eternal life. And on this Laetare Sunday, I would like to say, everyone who believes this, everyone who practices thanksgiving, everyone who can say thank you, is saying to themselves, I am not self-reliant, I am not self-sufficient, I am not independent, I am interdependent upon God and one another. All sinfulness is rooted in pride. All sin is rooted in me. I can do it. I can take care of it. I make my own plans. I make my own rules. I make my own mind. When we understand that everything is given to us, and this is the life of a saint, that everything is given, we can say, even my name is thank you. Thank you. To have that, we're reminded of the greatest virtue that is the root and foundation of them all, and that is humility. If one is not humble, they cannot say thank you. You can say it with your mouth and in your head, but true thanksgiving comes from the heart. The great Saint Augustine said that the first virtue of Christianity is humility. The second virtue of Christianity is humility. And the third virtue of Christianity is humility. The great Saint Augustine, who lived his life previously with infidelity upon infidelity upon infidelity, and yet finding God, finding the love of God in his life through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, the Paschal mystery, he completely turned his life over to God and saw everything as gift and became one of the greatest gifts to the church. A further comment of his is this: the way to Christ is first through humility. Second is through humility. And third is through humility. If humility does not precede, accompany, and follow every good work we do, it is not done. Every work we do, if it is not before us to focus us, if it is not beside us to lean upon, and if it is not behind us to fence us in, then pride will wrench from our hands any good deed we do at the very moment we do it. Pride can take over anyone's life. Arrogance, pride, selfishness, these root sins. And so it is incumbent upon us as we continue our Lenten observance, where is my infidelity? Not in just a simple act, but where is the root of my infidelity with God and one another? When we embrace the light that Jesus gives us in his gospel, we will truly be free. Free to love God, free to love our neighbor, and free in the humility that is Christ.
This morning we will be celebrating the second of three scrutinies for our elect, those who will be fully initiated at the Easter Vigil with baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist. They need our prayers and support. We pray that each of these elect will hear the comforting message of pardon for sin and be filled with the Spirit of Christ the Redeemer, who is the light of the world. Paul Hicks, Raquel Poche, Martin Smith, please come forward with your godparents. The rest of the candidates, Rona Bravo, Lydia Capper, and Charles Sauceda, also come forward with your sponsors.
My dear brothers and sisters, as the sponsoring community of Corpus Christi Cathedral, let us pray in silence for these elect and ask that they be given a spirit of repentance, a deepened sense of sin, and the true freedom of the children of God. My dear elect of God, join us in silent prayer and ask for God's grace and mercy. As a sign of your inner spirit of sorrow for sin, let us pray in silence. Father of mercy, you led the man born blind to the kingdom of light through the gift of faith in your Son. Free these elects from the false values that surround the blind and blind them. Set them firmly in your truth as children of the light forever. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus, you are the true light that enlightens the world. Through your spirit of truth, free those who are enslaved by the father of lies. Stir up the desire for good in these elect, whom you have chosen for your sacraments. Let them rejoice in your light, that they may see, and like the man born blind whose sight you restored, let them prove to be staunch and fearless witnesses to the faith, for you are Lord forever and ever. Amen. My dear friends, with the assurance of our loving support, this community sends you forth to reflect more deeply upon the Word of God we have shared. May Christ, who is the power and wisdom of God, challenge you to be one with us in the disciplines of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, that you may be one with us at last in the Paschal Feast of the Lord's table. Go in peace now and join us again at the next scrutiny. May the Lord remain with you always. I'd like to ask the community to please congratulate them on the second scrutiny.
Now, my sisters and brothers, let us profess our faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Confident that our prayers will be heard, we turn to God with our needs and petitions.
For the church, that it may provide a light to the world in the way that we build up the kingdom of God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the leaders of our nation, that they may truly see the most vital needs of the people they represent, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who are preparing for baptism and reception into the church this Easter, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our community, that we may live as children of light, of that light that produces goodness, righteousness, and truth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the Lord give members of our military courage and strength against all enemies, both spiritual and physical, and hasten their safe journey back home to their homes and families. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Joseph P. Mueller, Sarita Kennedy East, Mary Buss, Sebastian Vetter, and Anna Vetter, and Ben Murr, and for all the prayers that we hold in the silence of our hearts. Let us pray to the Lord.
We'd like to also remember those who are continuing to recover from the effects of Hurricane Harvey, that their spirits may be encouraged and that help may continue to be poured out into their lives. And in that, may they see the love and loving hand of God. We pray to the Lord. God of light, your Son opened the eyes of the man born blind. Open our eyes today to the work that is good within us. Give us generous and grateful hearts through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
I
Does it? Does it have the reconciliation? What's in it? Pray, my brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. We place before you with joy these offerings, which bring eternal remedy, O Lord, and present them to you, as is fitting, for the salvation of the world. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you will that our self-denial should bring you thanks, humble our sinful pride, contribute to the feeding of the poor, and so help us imitate you in your kindness. And so we glorify you with countless angels, and with one voice of praise we acclaim.
Sanctus, Sanctus, Dominus Deus Sabaoth, plenis in celi et terra. Gloria tua, Hosanna in excelsis, benedictus qui venit in nomine Domini, Hosanna in excelsis.
You, therefore, Almighty Father, we bless through Jesus Christ, your Son, who comes in your name. He himself is the word that brings salvation, the hand that you extend to sinners, the way by which your peace is offered to us. When we ourselves had turned away from you on account of our sins, you brought us back to be reconciled, O Lord, so that, converted at last to you, we might love one another through your Son, whom for our sake you handed over to death. And now, celebrating the reconciliation Christ brought us, we entreat you, sanctify these gifts by the outpouring of your Spirit, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, whose command we fulfill when we celebrate these mysteries. For when about to give his life to set us free, as he reclined at supper, he himself took bread into his hands, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper, in a similar way, on that same evening, he took the chalice of blessing into his hands, confessing your mercy, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
Save us, Savior of the world, for by your cross and resurrection you have set me free.
Celebrating, therefore, the memorial of the death and resurrection of your Son, who left us this pledge of his love, we offer you what you have bestowed on us, the sacrifice of perfect reconciliation. Holy Father, we humbly beseech you to accept us also, together with your Son, and in this saving banquet, graciously to endow us with his very Spirit, who takes away everything that estranges us from one another.
May he make your church a sign of unity and an instrument of your peace among all people. And may he keep us in communion with Francis our Pope and Michael our Bishop and all the bishops and your entire people.
Just as you have gathered us now at the table of your Son, so also bring us together with the glorious Virgin Mary, Mother of God, Saint Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and all the saints, with our brothers and sisters, and those of every race and tongue who have died in your friendship. Bring us to share with them true unending banquet of unity in a new heaven and a new earth, where the fullness of your peace will shine forth in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
A new day, qui tollis peccata mundi, miserere nobis. A new day, qui tollis peccata mundi, miserere nobis. Agnus Dei, qui tollis peccata mundi, non ha nobis pacem.
Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter into my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. Body of Christ.
Amen.
The body of Christ.
Amen.
The blood of Christ.
Amen.
Blood of Christ. Body of Christ.
Amen.
The body of Christ.
Amen.
Hello, I'm Father Han Fang, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.